You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, CEO of Inda Water Consortium, which has been nationalised since June of 2000 and has been tasked with managing the country's sewerage. Dato' Kadir, good morning and welcome to the show. Now, I just want to start with the rate. And these rates that are being levied, commercial users pay between 8 ringgit and 10,000 ringgit a month, and also residential users pay between 2 and 8 ringgit a month. How do you arrive at such rates?
Those were the rates that was developed when RWK was privatized. I mean, the sewerage industry was privatized. And I think that is the affordable rates calculated for that point of time. But it was never revised till today. And if you look at the domestic, those kampung house in urban area, like Kampung Baru, New Chinese Village, is 3 ringgit. The low cost is 2 ringgit. And the normal domestic is 8 ringgit. That's how it's charged. So for the commercial, for the start, I guess at that point of time, they're looking at educating people on sewerage for a start to get some return in the investment. They're looking at the property value. So the commercial is divided into the property value and also the water consumption. That's how you're charged. And some basic rate that you have to look at. And that, I would say, personally, it should be revised so as to be fair to the commercial guys that they should pay only for the water consumption and not related to the property value, because property value, it escalates.
So you're talking about the basis of the charging that is based on a property value that has got arguably no correlation to the usage of water treatment services.
If you look at overseas, they do that. Overseas, they focus on the volumetric, the amount of water that you use, and I think it's fair. That is, you'll be charged for the amount that you use.
But you say this is something that is quite affordable, and I find it quite hard to imagine business, for example, paying 10,000 ringgit a month for water. Mm. And, you know, you also have a very high level of debt. Does that reflect that people can afford treatment bills?
I would say if you look at the commercial, yes, they can, because their revenue is more than that. 10,000 compared to millions they make is nothing if you look at the proportion of it. So for the commercial people, I think it's fair because the amount of water they use and they discharge into the environment need to be well protected, you know, because it's our source of water for us to drink.
Mm-hmm. And what about the debt part? I mean, you have about nearly 1 billion in uncollected debt. What's the problem with the collection?
I would say collection, since we started off in year 1994 till today, it has rose to about 800 million. And about 450 to 500 is from the domestic. The collection has increased because of the awareness program that we conducted. I wouldn't say it's a smooth sailing thing, but the domestic customers started to pay. The only problem that we have, that they don't pay on time. It takes years, 1 year, 2 years, maybe some 5 years, stretched up to 5 years. For the commercial, it's not exactly a problem. It's just that they, like the domestic, they pay, but only when you knock at the door. So for those good customers, they pay on time. But for those who default, we knock at their door and we try to educate them and explain to them what is it all about, and then create more awareness. Is the last resort is see you in court.
Okay, that's the last resort. But is this a reflection that people are really hostile to the idea of paying their bills, especially their sewage treatment bills, and that they don't see a kind of justification to pay that?
Of course, to most of my interviews, the problem with sewage, they have no problem in their daily use. Like what is happening today, you won't be here if your toilet is not functioning this morning. So likewise, it's the operation of the domestic and similar to the commercial people. If there's overflow everywhere, then they start realizing. But there's none. That is the thing, the problem that we have. We cannot create drama here for sewerage, because we have to be very serious on sewerage portion, because it's great not in pollution, but the spread of waterborne diseases that need to be contained.
We have Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, CEO of Indah Water Consortium, which has been tasked for the country's wastewater management, on the grill today. Dato' Kadir, 63% of the population is covered by IWK, according to 2013 data. What happens to the rest? It seems like it's a travesty that one-third of the population isn't covered by sewage treatment.
I would say we still, unfortunately, I would say we still have some substandard treatment system like the pore flush. And I wouldn't say that the septic tank is not a good system, but septic tank, it depends on population. If it grows too large, then it will pollute the river because of the highly concentrated effluent discharge. Because a lot of people thought that septic tank is the best solution. No, it's not a good solution, especially if it serve large population of 10,000 people. The pore flush still exists. So the one-third of population sits in the rural areas. This is where we have to, our operation boundary is on the local authority boundaries. That is ours. And for rural, I think that falls in under ministry. We have not covered yet.
So when is it that they're going to streamline your functions to handle the sewage requirement of the entire country?
Okay, under the Malaysian 11 Malaysian plan, the government has put in the plan that the services should cover the rural as well. And this is where we are looking at. And it will take time in stages. You cannot do it overnight because the huge amount is required for the capital investment to put the infrastructure right. And we have to start with a well catchment planning to strategize ourselves and look at how do we move forward towards becoming an industrialized country.
Now, talking about moving forward and strategy, we were having a conversation earlier and you told me that the CapEx needs for the next 30 years amount to over 50 billion ringgit. And in the next 5 years, you need to spend 6 billion to upgrade the sewage treatment systems of the country. How are you going to achieve this with the large debt that you have on hand and with lack of funds from the government?
Okay, when the government took over IWK, there is a split of function. IWK has been tasked to do the operation maintenance, and the government is going to handle the CAPEX. So that CAPEX, in fact, the government has already handled it. If you look at the Greater KL sewer system, there's about 6-7 million already in place. So it's being done in stages. Thereby, I would say the government has chipped in quite seriously into looking into the better sewage infrastructure by closing down small plants and build regional plants. We are not proud to have about 7,000 plants. If you plus the communal septic tank, all in, we have about 10,000 assets to manage.
But is the government's commitment really visible? Because if you look at what's been allocated in budget, I don't think we hear of sewage treatment ranking highly in the budget. And added to the woes are these copious amounts of property development coming on stream. We have increasing urbanization. Are we sure that this won't break at the seam sometime down the road?
Okay, if you look at the sewage industry, it has been driven by the developers market. They build a lot of plants. But the government builds the regional plant and the developers build the small plants. And once the government comes in, when they build the regional plant, then the small plant will be closed, what we call rationalization scheme. And this is where the improvements comes in.
So you're saying that a problem lies with how much the private developers are charging you to build these plants?
Okay, the developers actually they don't charge us. They are under the act. They have to build a plant and then hand over to IWK for operation maintenance.
Do you think they're building these plants at a fair cost?
Yes, I would say so because it's at the current market price.
At the current market, and yet are you able to achieve a certain kind of returns on investment to cover your operations as well as to cover the future capital needs?
Yeah, okay. There are two things here. We get the plant, then we have to operate. The problem is operation. At the moment, when we take over a plant, one taman, when you take over a plant, the taman will not be fully occupied for the next 5 years. This is where the challenge comes in. We have to operate the plant at our cost, but the return is not there. meaning that the revenue doesn't cover the operation cost, and we have to bury it for the next 5 years. Thereby, something needs to be done in the mechanism, because at the moment, there's no minimum charge like what being enjoyed by the water and the electricity utility. But we have appealed to the government to look into this matter, because the infra is there, and the obligation for the people to pay should be at some minimum charge to be imposed.
This morning, we are speaking to Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamad Din, CEO of Inda Water Consortium, and we're talking about the wastewater management in our country. Up next, we'll take a look at the question of whether your wastewater management should be privatized, or should that be under the government. BFM 89.9. We have Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamad Din, CEO of Inda Water Consortium, on the Breakfast Grill today, and we're talking about sewerage treatment. Dato' Kadir, take us through this idea of whether sewerage treatment should be privatized, or should it be a service that's provided under the government? Because in the past, this business has gone through many private owners before it was taken on by the government in the year 2000. And now there are talks again that it should be reprivatized. How should we think about this business? Are there models around the world as to how this is being done?
If you look at the current scenario of water restructuring process in the Water Services Industry Act, the government is looking at restructuring the whole industry. It has happened in water industry, whereby they have created this licensing regime. As you can see, one example, Johor has given up their privatization scheme. If you look at Penang, they have given up. Selangor is in the midst of doing that. But sewerage, we only one entity, a bit easier. So I would say the moving forward is to comply with the vision of WISIA to move into the licensing regime, whereby you have two licenses. One is the facility license, who owed the asset. The other one is operating license, and we call it service license. So the question of privatization in future will not arise, because the Act provides for all those privatization company to give up their privatization or concession and move into the licensing regime.
But the talk has been rife that IWK should be privatized again. I mean, certain players in business have come forward. For example, Syed Mokhtar has been quoted in the newspapers some years back to want to take over the sewage treatment. How do you respond to such talk?
Still being studied. I wouldn't say that there's not the conclusion yet to that proposal. But some form or the other, at the moment, we still need some private people to be involved in the industry to help with the capex in one way or the other. The business model needs to be looked at, but eventually it should move towards the vision of WISIA to have a licensing regime. Even if you talk about privatization, IWK, we are still a concessionaire, 100% owned by government, but we hold authorized person under the Act. But the way we operate as a licensing, as a service people to operate the business.
Do you feel that the structure is good as it is now? Because you mentioned that the government provides for CapEx needs, so that it's funding coming from the government, and at the same time, you're able to keep tariffs unchanged for many years and keep tariffs affordable.
Okay, on that note, I would say if you look at the sewerage industry, government in itself, as of now, they behave like the facilities licensee. They provide the capex, but not for operation. But you must remember, the Act also look at sustainability. The Act look at three areas of holistic, sustainable, and transparent. So at the moment, sewerage is not sustainable, because the tariff has not been revised more than 20 years. It has been revised downwards, not upwards. I just imagine any business that depending on this as their main income stream, but it was not revised, but not revised upwards, but revised downwards. I take for example, when we started off, the domestic was 10 ringgit. Now it's 8 ringgit. You know, so, and then the cost has been increased. We take over about roughly in average about 200 plant without fail under the Act. And the cost increase, but our revenue income remain the same. So the gap is getting larger.
And if you look at comparisons of tariffs for sewage treatment around the world, Malaysia is actually one of the cheapest. In fact, Malaysia actually pays only a fraction of what some of the developed markets pay. Is this healthy, like, to, over the long term, having reduced tariffs? And are you looking at re-raising tariffs again?
Well, we have proposed to the government to revisit, to be at par with the industrialized country. Don't go far. We go to Singapore. Singapore, they have a single bill that includes electricity, water, and sewerage. If you look at sewerage, there are two portions of the bill. One is the toilet fittings, depending on how many toilets you have in the house. And the other one, they call by the name of waterborne fee. And that is related to the volumetric water use per household. And that's how they charge. So moving forward for the industry, it will be fair to charge rather than flat rate, we charge by volumetric. And in that sense, I would say it's water conservation. And if you look at the current scenario from our statistic analysis, if you do that, 52%, the B40 group still enjoy 8 ringgit, provided they use 20 meter cube of water.
So that there's some cross subsidy involved in that the richer households pay for the poorer households.
I think the same happened in the water industry.
Okay. Also, do you think that it's quite inefficient to have two separate companies, one running water treatment and the other sewerage treatment? Should it be combined and eliminate some of this inefficiency and also help with the collection as well?
Okay. You have said it correctly, and that is also the vision of WISIA, to eventually have one operator per state. And we have started off with the help of the Ministry of Energy, the Minister, Datuk Sri Panglima Maximus, already got a mandate, and we have already started off the joint billing in Labuan. And I would say it was successful in terms of collection rates. It was good because the acts provide for, if you don't pay sewerage bill, their water can be cut.
Would the consumers, do you think they would find this as something that is very sneaky to really combine that? Because you can actually raise a lot of, you can actually effect a tariff raise through the fine print and hidden charges when you combine it with your water bill.
So when you combine with the water bill, it will be atomized. What is water, what is sewerage? But it's under one bill, meaning that it's one total, but it's itemized. You know what you pay for water, what you pay for sewerage. So it's very transparent.
Yeah. So, coming back to the question, are you going to raise tariffs?
That's not my call. I wouldn't say it's raised. It's just a matter of looking at the research.
But are you pushing for it, though? As
we are appealing hard for the government.
So you're pushing for a tariff, right?
Yes.
To how much?
There's no what the percentage here. As I say, it's on volumetric. If you look at what I say just now, it's if people were to consume 20 meter cube per day, they still pay 8 ringgit, the current rates. You know? And I think it's a fair value. It's a water conservation strategy. So that whatever they consume, they pay user pay principle. And I think it will be good for the country to be at par with the industrialized country.
You also report to at least three ministries. One is the Ministry of Energy, Green and Technology, Ministry of Finance, of course, which owns you, and also the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment. Yes. Is this efficient? Are you reporting to too many bosses?
Basically, on the financial side, we report to Ministry of Finance. In terms of operation, we report to the Ministry of Energy. Environment is looking at the effluent quality. So these are the regulators. I don't see any problem at the moment in reporting all, because this is what we do on a day-to-day basis.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamadin, CEO of Inderwater Consortium, and we're talking about the country's wastewater treatment. Let's look at some tweets that are coming in. We have one from a listener, Amril Malik, who is asking the question of whether IWK can generate electricity from the sludge using renewable energy technology. And also, based on this question, I want to talk about the wider environmental management of IWK's operations. For example, one of the the suggestions that's being made is to recycle this wastewater, which is non-potable, to various users, industrial and other users, so that the filtered tap water can be saved. So what are your environmental policies?
Okay, on that, we have already embarked on the zero management waste concept, meaning that we're trying to recycle all our byproducts, namely the liquid, solid, and gas. That he has touched on the gas part, that means the energy. So we produce methane gas, and we have a pilot project already. In fact, we have two of our plants that generate gas and then convert to energy for our own consumption first, and we will explore further to enhance, and that will be good for generating renewable energy. If you look at sludge, two portions of sludge. One is for the fertilizer, which we have successfully done with Majlis Perbandaran Port Isen and Bandaran Alustar and Kanga for fertilizer, and we are also looking into further converting it into a pellet size and then become another biofuel. So I would say it's very, very, very encouraging, and very potentially we can do that. On the water side, we produce about 25% of the potable water required for human consumption of potable water. And that is the area that we embark on, to use this water for the industrial use, not for potable. I already said to various parties, why not put a policy in the scene to use potable water for non-potable usage. In that manner, we can increase the reserve of potable water supply, and the industry use the second-grade water for the users. I think it's quite proper for water conservation.
So as far as the energy generation is concerned, what is this as a percentage, or do you think you want a target of a national energy supply?
Well, it's very small. I wouldn't say it's very big yet, because we don't have a large plant that can generate such gas. We have only a handful of plants that we have. Example one in Bonus, we flare off the gas. In Pantai, we used to flare off. Now we have converted it into energy. So it takes time. Maybe give ourselves about 5 years. Then you know the right figure that we can generate.
Now, the non-potable water is also very interesting, because you generate about 4 to 6 million litres of water a day.
Yes.
And if it all goes to waste, then do you think that is a business opportunity to add another revenue stream?
It is. In fact, that's what we call waste to resource and waste to wealth. So if you look at the concept I just said just now, it's zero waste management concept. We are rebranding our treatment plant with the vision of maybe in future, we don't call it sewage treatment plant anymore. We can call it One Green Resource Center, so that it reflects what you do to recycle everything, you know, and back to the environment. So the rebranding will also be good, so that people know we support the green concept by the ministry, and this is good for the future. I would say Malaysia can become the water and wastewater hub for the industrial country, especially the neighbouring countries who can follow us as a model.
Now, you also have what are called Standard A and Standard B treatment plants,
yes,
which regulate the water that are discharged into the rivers. What are the differences between Standard A and Standard B? As I understand it, Standard B is not as good as Standard A. So the question is, are we discharging bad water into our rivers and harming our rivers?
Okay, the Standard A and Standard B is things in the Environmental Act, Quality Act, whereby Standard A is required if our treatment plant is upstream of any water intake. The Standard B is downstream of that water intake. So better quality to be imposed when you have a plant upstream of the intake.
Now, if you look at as a measure of your performance and your operations, when you started in the year 2000, when IWK was renationalized by the government, there was about 8,700 kilometers of pipes. And as of 2013, it doubled to about 16,000 kilometers of pipe. With the urbanization that's coming on stream and property development and so on, how much do you think you need, say, in the next few years?
In terms of length or in terms of cost?
In terms of both, the number of kilometers.
As I say, the kilometers of sewers, it will grow in your cost, because when you rationalize the small steam plant, then you need all the main trunk sewers. The cost is included in the $52 billion. Some of it has been spent. Government is looking at few states in future to have regional plan. Some will be in, say, Perak. I think there's been planned also even in Kelantan and some other parts of the nation. So the I would predict that and forecast that the sewer line will be more than 20,000 kilometers in future.
Dato, thank you so much for joining us. And that was Dato Abdul Kadir Mohamad Din, who is CEO of Inderwater Consortium, joining us on today's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.